The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Things are starting to take shape in the knockout stage of Euro 2020. We're more than two-thirds of the way through group play. Welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg along with you, and we kick off the third hour of the program on our Euro 2020 report for Hyatt Infinity with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from Cavalry FC. Safe and sound in Winnipeg, Manitoba, less than a week away from his first game with Cavalry, and now in 24-hour quarantine. So for the first time ever, Tommy, you're excited to take our phone call because you need something to do.
Well, unfortunately, I've been occupied with football, so I've got the Copa America on right now just to watch Uruguay versus Chile. So not only have I been blessed to have some Euro games in there, I've got that to go back-to-back, and then you find people to speak to.
Well, and we will get into what's happening in the 6 days ahead for your squad at Cavalry FC in just a few minutes. But let's dive right in, because the knockout stage at Euro really is starting to come together. And with results today in Group B, Belgium over Finland and Denmark takes a 4-1 victory over Russia, the Danes, who were in a tough spot, they did not necessarily control all of their own destiny. Denmark is indeed through to the knockout stage. Belgium goes perfect through group play, as we expected with their win over Finland, but it's Denmark, the number two team, coming out of Group B, Tommy.
This was incredible. I had to have both games going on, one on my laptop and one on the TV, because I started watching the Danes, obviously. Then I flicked over to watch the Belgium, and I'm like, I've got to watch both of these, because it had so much time on it. And I think it's a great way for the football spectacle. It's a great way to, I think it started because they didn't want any, you know, fixed matches, that if they only needed a point back and forth, and the ball was just moving, and it, you know, goes against the ethics of the game. So this now created drama after drama. So, I mean, I think we've all got to feel a little Danish through this because of what's happened with Christian Eriksen. And my word, what a goal by Damsgaard. I think you and I were speaking about him prior, about he's a bright young talent. He's only 20. He's playing with Sampdoria in this Italy Serie A. And then from there, they've scored another good goal with Poulsen, who's now 2 in 3 games. And then out of nowhere was Zuba gets a penalty for Russia. I thought it was a little bit of a dubious call, in my opinion. And when Zuba scores, I think it's his 30th goal for Russia, which I think is some type of record on that side. But what that can do in a game is shift momentum. The game is all about momentum. Now, suddenly you think, well, Russians are chasing it. It's now the differential is only one goal. That does affect them, the goal difference on the actual side of the table. And from there, my word, Christensen, if you thought Damsgaard's goal was good, Christensen's, it's an absolute rocket to make it 3-1, and then Mahler to make it 4-1. You could just feel the adrenaline, the joy of all the fans in Copenhagen. And I mean, you just got to give them credit. They showed that Viking spirit and amazing character that country deserves.
Yeah, truly, truly a feel-good story. So Denmark claims second in Group B. The number one ranked team in the world coming into Euro 2020 was Belgium. The Belgians, they go perfect to the group stage. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them? Do they look like a squad coming out of group play that can win this entire tournament?
Yeah, I think they've managed this comfortably. I mean, having said that, I think the Finns kept them at bay, really, until the 74th minute. And it took a bit of an own goal, if you will, off of a set play. So Vermaelen, I think, hit the headers, hit the crossbar. And Hideki has tipped it into his own net. And then you think, well, because the Finns had stood tall, I thought they had a back line that was marshalled very well. Again, showing that warrior spirit to keep the Belgians at bay. But the Belgians had rotated and rested their side. They give Eden Hazard his first start. They'd kept Lukaku in the side because I think as a striker that's on a run of games, and he's now got his third in 3 games, which is important. But I thought the Finns were good. And with the goals going against Russia, that started lopsiding their goal difference, because even though they've got 3 points that match the Finns, that match the Danes who finished in second, the goal difference matters, because now you've got Denmark who finished in second place and automatically qualified to play Wales in the round of 16 because they have a +1 differential. Now the Finns are -2, and the lopsided result against the Russians meant they finished with -5. So everything was swinging on a few goals either side. So, but it's impressive. I mean, hopefully, will 3 points be enough as one of the third place finishers? Maybe. You'll have to see how it goes in the next couple of days.
And that's one of the things to watch for, right, Tommy? And you'll reference it, I'm sure, a few more times, is that, yes, top two teams in each group automatically onto the knockout stage, and then two additional, kind of like the wild card teams in football or baseball, two additional third-place finishing teams will advance as well.
Yeah, it's really good because you've got four out of the six that can get by as a third-place finisher, and you're looking now... Russia could be knocked out with having the same points as Denmark and Finland. Well, they are knocked out because they don't finish in third place because of goal differential. So every game matters. And I think it's been some wonderful drama in that. And that's been the tale of the tournament so far.
We're with Tommy Wheeldon Jr., our Euro 2020 analyst from Cavalry Out FC. Let's move to Group C, which also got figured out today. Netherlands perfect in group play. I know our friend Anthony at Hyatt Infinity is listening very eagerly to hear about your take on the Dutch. 3-0 win over North Macedonia earlier today. Your impression of the Dutch through group play?
I think they've been very good because there was talk prior, with the loss of they haven't had Virgil van Dijk, one of the best defenders in the world. De Ligt, another good centre-back, came into the tournament without, he's been injured. There's talk of, the system change because you'd always see the Dutch primarily with wingers. Now they're playing with twin strikers. But Memphis Depay's been very key. I mean, he was very effective again today. They did rotate. Well, they had the choice to rotate because they'd already qualified. But De Boer chose to play the big guns, if you will. And it paid dividends because you got Depay, he had a goal, an assist, and also was part of the third goal. He's now got two goals, which gives him confidence going into the next round. You've got Gini Wijnaldum, who's been pivotal for the Netherlands in midfield. He's now got three goals in three games, which is incredible for a goal-scoring midfielder. He wasn't really recognised as such for his former club in Liverpool, but maybe now he's gone to PSG, maybe they'll look at a more advanced role because he's had some neat finishes. But then what De Boer done very, very well is as the game is kind of wrapped up, he's now started to take out Frankie de Jong, who's pivotal in midfield, Depay, Dumfries. They're all De Vrij as well. They're all very key part of this Dutch side. They're only getting better. But having said that, I mean, you got to say, if the scoreline wasn't as reflective, especially on North Macedonia, Pandev had a send-off. I thought it was a nice tribute by the Dutch, giving him the 122 appearance jersey before the kickoff. But you look, Trikovsky scores in the ninth minute that was offside. In the 22nd minute, while it's still 0-0, Trikovsky hit the post. And then even while, they almost got another consolation in the 72nd minute with Kurlinov scoring another offside goal. So you think an inch or two here and there, it's a little bit tighter, but... You've got to be pleased with the North Macedonians' effort.
The other Group C final today, Austria over Ukraine 1-0. This is a massive game to determine second place in the division, and Austria gets it. They win and move through with 6 points, Tommy.
Well, I'm starting to think maybe Austria are sleepers because when we did our pre-tournament prep, I was reading into some of these teams and having a look at it, and in Coach Franco Foda, they talked about him being the fans not being overly excited with his style of play, but he's very much a pragmatist. He just gets the job done. And you're playing against a Ukraine side here that I think have been very exciting with Yarmolenko, Yaremchuk. They've got two each apiece going into this final game. And I think they got their tactics right because David Alaba and company have kept a very good Ukraine side at bay. Sabitzer in midfield had a great battle with Zinchenko, and you'd probably say that he was pivotal in terms of making sure that they didn't get as many opportunities from midfield as possible. And I think Austria should have probably killed the game off with a couple of chances that Arnautovic had. And, they've done well. They've kept a clean sheet, like I say, against a very Ukraine side. And perhaps they're a team or a side that, like the Danes can get job done, like the Swedes, know how to just win the close game. So credit to them.
We're in conversation with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from Cavalry FC. He's our Euro 2020 analyst. Yesterday, Group A got figured out in terms of who's through to the knockout stage. First of all, Italy with a 1-0 win over Wales, and that keeps the Italians perfect in group play. You were very confident in that group coming into the tournament. Now through group play, they go perfect. How confident do you remain in Italy?
Oh, massively. I mean, they've gone 30 games unbeaten now, and then they've kept 11 consecutive shutouts, which is just huge. And I think when you play like that, there's already, you go into the games 1-0 up, and then when you do go 1-0 up, you know you're not losing. And in fairness to the Welsh, I think they've progressively got better ever since Kiefer Moore scored that equaliser late in the game. I think they've now given themselves a chance. They've now qualified in. I think they've, you know, it's going to be a very close game with Austria, but I really like the Italians, and a fair play to Roberto Mancini. He's rotated the squad very well, and he did a really cool nuance where he subbed off his keeper for his second keeper. And the reason being, as a player himself, was caught in the Italian 90 as a host, was part of the World Cup squad and never entered the pitch. And he always said that was one of his biggest regrets. So he wanted his squad to feel like, you know, I've got 26 starters. And he'd done that and lived up to it. And that does wonders for a team's chemistry. And I thought it was a great bold move. And, you know, they saw the game out 1-0. Welsh got a lad sent off, Ethan Ampadu. A bit of a late challenge, more of a clumsy one, in my opinion. But I think they look good. I think they're going to be, you know, one of the favourites here moving forward.
Now, despite the defeat, Wales is officially through. They have claimed the number two spot in Group A, mm-hmm. and officially, and a huge, huge win. The Swiss needed to take care of their business as well. Yesterday they did, 3-1 over Turkey, and they will also move through, Tommy. So you've got Italy, mm-hmm. Wales, and Switzerland all moving through from Group A.
Well, Swiss probably a bit like the Austrians, where they've been sleepers, because I thought Turkey, you know, going into this, had a good qualifying record. Yilmaz has done very well for Lille, won the French League One, so I fancied them. That was obviously not a good pick on that side. But with the Swiss, you know, their big players start playing. Shaqiri got a couple of really nice goals, good finishes. And I think they had a good game when it mattered. So what they've done now by banking 4 points means they're through to the next round. And I think what they'll make themselves against, you know, perhaps some of the bigger teams, is they're just going to make themselves organized and tough to break down.
Let's move to tomorrow's matches. Group D will be in the spotlight tomorrow at Euro. First of all, first place will be decided in a match between England and the Czech Republic. Both squads have 4 points with a victory and a draw. How do you see that one shaping up?
Well, this is interesting, actually, because it's an opportunity for both to say, right, we're both through. Do we rest, or do we do a bit like, so you look at different ways now, because the Belgians had a bit of a blend with resting and rotating some, but keeping some of their big players. The Italians rotated a lot of their big players, and it's bore fruit for them. And then you look at the Dutch that started with their strong squad and then brought them out as the game was going on. It'd be interesting to see which coach does what, because they've qualified. Because you also look on England's side, you know, they haven't conceded in 2 games, but they haven't set the world on light yet. And this is meant to be a group of, you know, some of the best attacking talents they've had in a long time. When you're looking at, you know, Mason Mount, you've got Sterling, Kane, Rashford, Foden, and we've not even seen Sancho or Grealish yet. So is it a time now, especially on the back of, you know, young Gilmore, who had a great game for Scotland against England, has now been tested positive for COVID, so he's out for 10 days. And with that, his Chelsea teammates on the England side, Mason Mount and Ben Chilwell, were obviously beyond that 15-minute window that they call it. They're also out. And I think Mason Mount has had an excellent start to the tournament as well. So does that mean a little bit of a rejig? Does that mean that England bring in Bellingham or maybe Grealish or maybe even Sancho and rotate their lineup a little bit? Does Harry Maguire come back into it? So I think it's you can rotate whilst also putting some key people into the go. And then do the Czechs say, right, actually, we're going to get some through and we're going to prepare for the round of 16, whoever. Because if you win, you're playing one of the second place team coming out of the group of death. You know, either Portugal, Germany, or France. And that's a tough one. So it's going to be interesting because you might play, okay, are we going to just rotate because we get freshness? And then we'll, you know, perhaps if we do win, great, we've got freshness coming back into it. If we don't, then we maybe have a better round of 16 draw.
Well,
and on the Croatia and Scotland side, right, it's a must-win for both.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, because the other interesting part about Group D is that, okay, we know one of the four third-place finishers is through, and that's Switzerland in Group A, but if you're Scotland and you're Croatia, an opportunity to get 4 points and put yourself in a spot to maybe be one of those third-place finishers. Like, there's everything still to play for in that Scotland-Croatia match.
Oh, it's massive as well because, you know, I liked what Scotland did against England, you know, moving McTominay into the back three, Tierney on the left-hand side of that. You almost had the double left-back approach with him and Andy Robertson. I thought the midfield three, McGregor, Gilmore, McGinn, were very solid against England. But they're up against Croatia, who I think still have one of the best midfielders, you know, in this tournament, with Modric, who's at Madrid, Brozovic with Inter Milan, and Kovacic with Chelsea. So I think that's going to be a really interesting one because both of them have to win. They can't just go and play out and keep it cautious. They both got to go for it. And that will probably make for a very entertaining game. And hopefully, like we saw today in Group B, there's drama that unfolds in that game. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And you know, I forgot to say, even on the Czech side, you know, Patrick Schick has got 3 goals in 2 games. So it'll be interesting now that players are starting to play for this golden boot, whether it's Lukaku or Memphis Depay. You know, Poulsen's in the mix now. There's all these players, Immobile, that are starting to score 2s and 3s. He's got 3 and 2. So if he plays and if he scores, that's a great thing for the Czechs.
Okay, Tommy Wealdon Jr. is with us. He is our Euro 2020 analyst. Lots to dive into today from the weekend, from today's 4 matches and previewing a pair of games tomorrow. And Mr. Wealdon, safe and sound in Winnipeg. So you've got your first match with York United in 6 days. What is the next week and a bit look like for your squad in the bubble in Winnipeg as the CPL season is just a few days from starting?
Yeah, well, today is just it was a travel day. As soon as we got here, we had to have a COVID test prior. Once everyone was negative, we were allowed to travel, which we did. Got here, had our COVID test here at the airport. Everyone's on separate floors, and then once we get the results all clear, we'll be able to resume our training, which hopefully is within the 24-hour period. So we're open to get some type of rollout stretch out tomorrow, and then it's all just tactics, game day tactics, which for us, it's been over 280 odd days between games. So it's nice to go into this week. Now it's here. Mm-hmm. Honestly, boarding the plane, even though we know we're going in and making the sacrifices to be away for 35 days or something. I think every one of the players, you couldn't see it because we had masks on, but there was a smile in there because it was almost like we're going on holiday because it was something so exciting to be back doing what we love again. And we appreciate that.
Well, and we've been focusing on a player from your squad each day for the last little bit. We've focused in net, and you know, on Friday we focused on Mo Farsi, who's coming off a great first campaign with your group. Let's go more the veteran angle today. Your captain is Nick Ledgerwood. He goes into year 3 with Cavalry FC. He's a veteran in the CPL as well. Just tell us how important Nick is on your squad and how important he'll be this season.
Well, Nick's invaluable, and I think, you know, what you see on the pitch isn't what you get with having Nick in your side. I think he's defying the sands of time, that's for sure, because we've had this staggered return-to-train approach, and it's almost been that, you know, some of the local guys were able to start back in March, and then some others got in April, and then some more in May, and then some more in June before we left. So we haven't had the whole squad together training consistently other than probably, you know, 6 or 7 guys that are local. He's been one of them, and he's not missed a single training session. And everybody's, you know, had different things. He's looked after his body brilliantly. He's fresh. He's sharp. You know, when we've had the fitness test and results, he's always near the top of it. And he's just a great pro. And I think when you're in the new Canadian league, he sets an incredible example for some of these young Canadians that are trying to learn this professional industry that we've not really had for a long time here. He gives us that type of Roy Keane intensity that was a very good leader for Manchester United, a very pivotal midfielder. He sets a standard. You know, there's only one standard with him. If you're going to be training, you train at full capacity. And you can tell that he's been through that German system because of the way the Germans play and perform. It's business. You turn up, you don't, you know, half-ass it. You've got to give everything you got. He's been brilliant. And when we reflect back to what happened last year, we are missing some key pieces to our attacking units because of the injuries. But after our game in the knockout rounds against Pacific, I thought he was one of our best players, if not the best player. And then he had strained his groin that ruled him out for the games against Halifax and Forge. And we probably missed him more than ever because he just gives us that leadership in midfield, the presence around the locker room, and the bite that we like to play with. So he's he's almost got his 400 professional appearances, and he wants to make sure he gets there and beyond that. And I think he will.
Outstanding stuff, as always, Tommy. Hopefully you're able to get on the pitch tomorrow and get your training back underway. Glad to hear that you are safe and sound in Winnipeg, my friend. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. The stunning 2022 QX55 is here. Lease for $299 semi-monthly with $4,995 down on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.